How's it going, everyone? B Smitty here. Make sure you go check out bsmitty.com. There's always stuff going on there. I'm working on a redesign, trying to get things a little bit more organized there, so keep a lookout for some changes. You know, it's kind of, last night Ryder had a baseball game that was canceled last night, so I stopped by to, he always gets a SpongeBob ice cream after his game, so we stopped and picked him up one of those, and so we can still see him for a little bit since we weren't able to go to the game. And soon after I got back home, my like upper thighs were like just killing me. It was very weird. I couldn't even explain it, and it's rolled over to today, and I can barely walk and stand. It's, I don't even know what the heck I did. I've been trying to like think like if I was just like sitting weird, or I have no idea what happened. But anyways, that's what I'm at today, is trying to not feel in so much pain. Sometimes, earlier when I was walking around, it kind of felt a little bit better, so I kind of was doing that, then all of a sudden, that felt terrible. So now I'm just sitting down. But yeah, I wanted to talk about something today. I watched a documentary called Side by Side. It's by Keanu Reeves. It's actually a really rad documentary to watch, especially if you like, if you're, you know, just a camera nerd or into the whole, you know, the documentary is about film versus digital, specifically in cinema, and it was a great watch. I highly recommend it. I'm not too sure if it's on Netflix or anything. It's available on iTunes, and it came out in 2012, which is, you know, I remember getting my first digital camera, and I was shooting film. When I first started photographing, I was shooting film, and I couldn't wait to get a digital camera. I knew the quality at that point for photography, at least especially for what I was able to even afford, was pretty poor, or it was really bad. My first camera was 4 megapixel. I think I talked about it in the last podcast, and I'm really excited to make the film about that camera. But an interesting story with me getting into digital is one of my friends in high school, her name was Allison Van Hoos, and I sat next to her, and it was like a science class. I'm not even too sure if that's what it was even called. There were some weird names for some classes when I went to Midview High School, and maybe it was just science. I don't even know. But anyways, there were two seat tables. So it was just me and her at a table. And then she brought in a digital camera. And it was like 100% like just a brick, like a big digital camera. But it was like the greatest thing in the world. But it was complete crap. You know, especially if I, you know, see it now, I'd probably be like, you know, what the hell is this thing? Literally at that time, it was like, just opened up a whole new world. And she actually let me borrow it, because instantly became obsessed. Like every day I'd see her after, I think she might have got it for Christmas or something. So it might have been, because I know it just like was there. And I want to say this was probably 2004. It would have been senior year, so yeah, 2004. And I didn't even get my first digital camera for, you know, a year from that time. But shooting with that was amazing. I couldn't even believe how amazing it was. Like, to me, it was just, you know, going out and photographing and kind of seeing what you're shooting. Even with that, like, you know, the limitations were extreme. Like, you know, it was just like, it was not good in low light for sure. Wasn't really even good in good light. But just being able to see what you're doing, and you're not worrying about money, and you're just photographing, and like, just the creative process then was just, there's a whole world I wanted to be a part of. And I knew, I'm super big into getting into the future of things. Like I think because I'm in that really strange area where, like, I was there for the last of, like, a lot of things. Like, when I was younger, we still got cassette tapes, but then that went away. There's VHS tapes, and that went away. But I was still young. And so it was, like, a lot of things were changing from when I was a kid to basically by the time I graduated high school. And so I think that's kind of, like, maybe the reason why that sticks with me is, like, I'm so used to things being upgraded and just, it's just the technology, you know, is always, you know, progressing. And the documentary Side by Side, you know, really goes into those details. And there's, there's definitely the, you know, romanticism for sure, you know, with film. And that's completely understandable. There's people that just will not let go of shooting film. I know Christopher Nolan, and he's in the documentary. He's super into film. But the way I look at it with that is like I'm a super huge Christopher Nolan fan. My favorite film is Interstellar. And it's hard though, like in his position, like it doesn't even compare. Like when you're thinking Christopher Nolan, and then you're thinking of the average, especially the average person, but even, you know, other like well-known filmmakers, like you're not shooting, you know, IMAX quality and that type. So it's almost like asking him about it. It's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm not going to go to digital, especially in 2012 when they made it. It's almost not even like a fair question. It's almost like, you know, and that's why for me, like someone like a David Lynch, he, you know, completely loves the idea of digital and what you can do with digital, because, you know, he's not going to film something like a Mulholland Drive in IMAX, type of, feature. But yep. So that's kind of like, you know, some of it's kind of like it's hard to explain. I think when you like really, I can get so deep into this conversation. That's why I'm kind of going through these thoughts. I'm not even like, this is kind of why I love this idea of the podcast, because I take zero notes and you can just hear me ramble and kind of gather myself. Is, Scorsese is in it and he has so many good points. And I think that's what's nice about this film, is like you get so many different perspectives. And I think a lot of it is, especially you could tell in the tones of various, you know, people in the documentary, is it's more, I think people are nervous or like self-conscious, or they just don't want other people being involved in the film industry. They want to feel special, and it scares them to have, you know, basically anyone can make a film. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty insane, like what can be done now. And that, I think that makes a lot of people nervous, and especially, you know, people who've made movies over the years, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you can drop a feature length film on YouTube, and it could be your phone. You can use your phone and make a film if you really wanted to, or, you know, if you have a small budget, you can create a lot with very little these days, especially now from 2012. And I think especially if I would have watched this in 2012, I would have laughed at a few of the comments in it where they say that, you know, it was kind of strange to listen to some of the people where like they mentioned the quality of like a digital film in like 2002, and then they say like talk about kind of the difference of 2012, but then they still think like, oh, it's not going to go anywhere. But it's like the quality is so much different from 2002 to 2012. What do you think is going to happen after that? Like, it's because, I mean, now especially, it's, I think shooting film is it's there's no reason really to shoot film unless that's just the preference. It's that's all it is now, is a preference. I think the idea, I think a lot of it too, like there's like, oh, there's no breaks in, you know, shooting a film, because before you had to, like, you had 10 minutes to film and then you had to change your negatives out to, you know, you got another 10 minutes. So there's like breaks in between. And so that kind of made a natural, like, people can gather themselves, but that's a very little thing that can be for sure 100% duplicated. Like, you can, if someone really wanted that to happen, they would schedule their day to make that happen. That, to me, that's a, that has nothing to do with the film versus digital. That's a preference of how they like to work, so they can create that atmosphere and that, you know, yeah, I mean, they just can create that atmosphere however they want. If they want it to be 10-minute increments, schedule that day that way and don't shoot for, you know, a whole day straight without any stops. That argument makes zero sense. There's definitely, you know, people have been, oh yes, it, film looks a certain way, and that's for sure a thing, especially, you know, even when they were talking about this, you know, in 2012 when they made this. I think that makes less and less, that's less of a thing as time goes on. Right now, to me, because I think people are so used to seeing how a movie looked like. Me, I would much rather watch a film digital than it shot on film. Like, to me, it's almost like, you know, someone's like, oh yeah, you know, that looks like a really old film. Like, when I was a kid, you know, when movies were coming out, like Fight Club and Seven and all that kind of stuff, like even movies from like the 80s were just like, oh, that looks terrible, or, you know, whatever. I remember kind of having those types of conversation where it's like, oh, those movies, like, just don't look that good. And that was all film. Like, that was like, and what's weird about that is, like, I think it's just styles. And so, like, you know, the films that were coming out in the, you know, mid 90s that were like kind of, you know, dark, and, you know, those are just the movies I was watching. There's obviously so many films out there and people like what they like, but it's like, you know, when you watch something from the 80s, like, and then you can watch something. So if you're watching Back to the Future, yeah, that looks, you know, it's a classic, looks good, you know, whatever. But then you watch like The Shining, which is way earlier, and I think The Shining looks better. Like, and it's just like the style of the director and how they wanted to make it look and all that kind of stuff. So I think, and that's how the digital age turned. I think then that's why I go back to that argument. It was really easy to do when, you know, they were making films with like mini DV cameras. Like, that was a pure obvious, like, okay, yeah, the quality is super poor. And that was more of like, yeah, I mean, it's the argument of like, yeah, there are filmmakers like Robert Rodriguez going out and just making these, you know, low budget films, but they were just its own style, and they grew to be what they are now. And yeah, it's super low budget and doesn't look as good as, you know, a big blockbuster film, but, that's how it always be. And even now with digital, I think that's where a lot of like the, you know, probably the people who are really in cinema, especially for decades, I think it's hard for them to think that in the sense of the digital world, where like it's the person's vision that makes how a film looks. Especially not, like, you can film anything on digital, you can have it look a certain way. If you want to make a film, I can make a film now and have it look like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, or I can make a film and have it look like, and like The Social Network or something. You know, it's all of that is kind of like its own personal style, and I think that's like the whole film versus digital is kind of definitely 100% preference, and that's why there's, you know, the big people that were, you know, really believed in digital even way back in the 80s, you know, and all that kind of stuff, when it's slowly, you know, slowly creeping in, and like George Lucas and James Cameron and all those guys. And yeah, so that's kind of like, yeah, I just really think you should check it out. Yeah, it's called Side by Side. It's definitely worth the watch. It's cool too, because it's almost like its own, like, it's a good piece of time, because it is for sure a big shift in how we all watch movies and how we consume. And if it wasn't for digital, it would be the same, the same thing of like, yeah, there's, so many movies coming out in the year, and that's what it is. And there's not that much of an independent film going on. And I think that's kind of like a sad world. And it's true, like what David Lynch says in the documentary is, there's always been like, people with, I'm not too sure exactly how he words it, so you have to watch, but basically says, there's, a kid and his brother with a piece of paper and a pencil, but not every idea or every story is going to be good. But the great thing is that there is that piece of paper and pencil. That's me adding to that, is that, imagine if there was only a certain kind of paper and it was super expensive, only some people had it, and you couldn't write anything unless you had, someone approving that your idea is worthy, and then you're allowed to write some things down. And that's kind of how I look at it, is, we all have opportunities, and that's why I've really been trying to embrace YouTube and just like, even if it is just little like things I want to just document, like it's pretty amazing. And that, I think that's the great thing of being, growing up in the era I was, going through, what I was mentioning earlier, is like, I have complete respect for innovation and what has happened in the past, like from the difference from when I started getting into filming. That's what I did before I shot photographs. I started filming with a big like shoulder VHS cam that, like, the classic one from like the 80s where, like, parents would film birthday parties. Like, that's like what I used, is I put my big VHS tape in there, and then I'd film my neighbor friends, and we made skate videos, and I edited them with two VHS decks, and we couldn't do any type of like music on the side, so like we replayed it and filmed the screen and had audio playing from a CD player. It was pure, like, we had to make it happen somehow, and that's just what we did. So like, when I think of that and how hard it was to do that, and even like just getting, like, I mean, I was, a kid, and, I think I was maybe delivering newspapers at that time or something, but like even going to the store and buying VHS tapes, like as a kid, I was like, man, this sucks. Like, I have to get these tapes, and like, I don't have any money, and, I was just trying to like, do a little bit of work here and there to buy these tapes. The editing process was pure, like, it was laborious and just, just pain. And so when I think of that, like how hard it was just to make like a little project with that type of equipment from what it is now, like I could make what I made then, it would look better, 100% look better on my phone. And I could, if I wanted to, I can edit it better on my phone. And like, I could, yeah, it's amazing. It's like, when I think of that, like, and I see like so many people complaining about battery life on cameras, and like, which everyone gets in. I think that's too, like, oh, it's, it'd be cool if this lasted a little bit longer. But to me, I always see these things online. It's like, I would buy this Sony camera, but when you're shooting in 4K, the battery life only lasts like 2 hours. And to me, it's like, like you're shooting in 4K, like super good 4K quality. You can get whatever lenses you wanted to get for it, and like, that's 2 hours while you're filming. Like, you have 2 hours with one battery, and like getting spare batteries is like the cost of getting a couple of tapes, and you don't have to get more batteries again. So it's like, there's always gonna be little things that people complain about, because I think that's just like the nature of like, trying to find that thing to make a excuse, because that's kind of like a general thing that, a lot of people do, is they try to like justify what they, why they're not doing what they're doing, or that type of thing. I'm not too sure if this whole story went south or not, but I'm just kind of like, but yeah, so that's a big thing too with digital, is like, it's really like one, well, obviously you need like lenses and, mics and stuff, but like once you have your kit, like, and you can use it for however long you want. If you feel like upgrading, you can, but like you can that's it's just to me, like, when I think about, like, you know, what I was shooting with when I was shooting photos, when I got my first camera for photography, I borrowed money from my grandma and got a Canon Elan something, Elan 7, or I don't know if that's the right number or not, but it was a Canon Elan camera. It was film. And I, you know, when I think of those days and, like, you know, what it was like to shoot like with film and dealing with, you know, taking it, get developed and all that kind of stuff. Cause I was shooting color. I've always liked shooting in color, so I wasn't developing at home. I later learned to develop in black and white just for the nostalgic of it. And I still like the idea of, like, that's the funny thing. Like, I shot some, medium format film not too long ago. Cause I got some, a friend of mine's, dad had a whole like collection of medium format cameras. So I got the collection off him. And, you know, I wanted to kind of just, like, shoot some film in black and white, kind of develop it for nostalgic reasons. Like, when I developed them, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is cool. But, like, there's no way I could just do that. Like, to me, it makes zero sense to, like, shoot film, like, photography. Like, it's just, like, a terrible restraint for me, at least, to, like, even comprehend that. Like, it just sounds awful. Because even shooting digital, like, it's basically the, you know, equivalent. Like, cause I shoot a lot, like, it's, but I feel like I don't at the same time, because I don't know, I do shoot a lot, but I mean, that's what I'm doing, you know what I mean? That's, I'm always out photographing, and that's why I don't feel like I do it a lot. Like, I'm not, like, just, like, spraying the camera around and shooting everything. When I photograph, I'm photographing for a reason, which, you know, is a lot of the times, but, like, so, like, what I have, like, an organized kind of log of, like, what I'm doing. So it's, like, I know if I was, like, if I was shooting film, I feel like with, like, if you're really, like, you know, okay, I'm shooting photos every day, that's kind of what I'm doing, and you're shooting on film, I'd probably, if I was shooting on film, I'd probably end up, like, something like a Gary Winogrand or something, where all of a sudden, like, you know, I kind of have this little backlog going, then I have, like, a drawer full of rolls of film that I need to get to or get them developed, and then it turns into a stash over here that I have to go get developed, which ends up being thousands of dollars worth because I can't afford to do it at this time or that time or whatever. So, like, it's just a whole, like, that obviously made sense when that was, you know, that was the way, but especially, I mean, that to go back to the argument for this whole thing was talking about is, yeah, I think there's a, you know, especially then, there, you know, and especially, like, early 2000, and with mini DV film, there's for sure the argument, like, why are you making a film with mini DV when you could be shooting with something that looked a little bit better? To me, I would have for sure 100% would have been in that DV category, because I would have been like, hey, we can save, you know, money from dealing with a giant, you know, thing where it's going to force us to not have Final Cut and force us to do this, to where, hey, I can hire who I want, because I can maybe get a different type of budget, and or if I can't do that, I can kind of go rogue, like, and just shoot kind of like how 28 Days Later was, where they just shot it on DV and kind of just, I think that's what they shot it. I think they shot on DV and just kind of, they had 10 cameras because the camera was super cheap, and they just went rogue, didn't get permits or nothing. And that, I mean, everyone knows of that movie, or at least at my era, that was a popular movie. And, yeah, so it was definitely, you know, a weird time, probably, you know, especially if, like, you were that classic, like, I'm a Hollywood filmmaker, like that, you know, I think that's probably just, like, hurt their hearts more than anything. So, but yeah, you know, and to go back to Christopher Nolan, like, he is by far, like, he's, you know, I respect Christopher Nolan for his work for sure, because, I mean, when I see his work, it's just, especially Interstellar. If you haven't seen Interstellar, I highly, 100% recommend just to buy it. You don't even need to rent it or stream it. I think it's on Hulu right now as of this podcast upload. But so if you don't have the streaming, just buy it. You know, just do that, because it's literally one of my favorite films. And actually, this is a good little random tidbit, is actually kind of like emulated the look of my videos after Interstellar. if you watch Interstellar, watch my videos, and you can kind of get an idea of the look. And that's kind of goes back to where I shoot digitally, but I give it, I don't just post it straight out of the camera, because that's not what they did in film, and that's not how I do it. So I put in my little look too as well. You know, is Interstellar is like kind of like it's like, I don't know, it's a movie I really connect with, because I kind of wanted to like have my little world of YouTube be a part of that in a weird way. I'm trying to remember the first time I started using this new look that I made, but it's been a while. I want to say it's been like a year or so of the past year of uploads. And yeah, I'll probably, you know, make some films where I don't use that look, but generally that's what I'm going with. But yeah, so obviously, you know, I think Christopher Nolan, like, I have no idea. I don't know him. I don't, you know, or his thought process. But, you know, if I were to guess, he'll be shooting digital, or he'll have to shoot digital at some point. Maybe not. But yeah, I mean, those big film companies stopped even making those big film cameras when they made that documentary. So it kind of showed, even while he was making that documentary, things were happening. And definitely, you know, crazy mad respect to everyone, you know, in the film industry that's, you know, made all the classics and all that. And definitely watch it. Keanu Reeves is great in it. He's just, if you don't know anything about Keanu Reeves, he is super into the process and just like, you know, the craft of what it is to make a film. And he's pretty rad about that, and he really digs deep, and like definitely check it out. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed this rambling, kind of going off topic a bunch of times thing about my thoughts. You know, obviously, you know, my thoughts are, you know, my thoughts. You can agree or disagree. It doesn't matter. That's the beauty of having this podcast, is just, you know, something for you guys to listen to. And, you know, yeah. So digital, it changed my life. Digital really changed my life 100%. Cause I mean, it's hard to say, even if digital never really came to like the consumer market, I probably would still probably just be shooting like photography, film, or whatever. But because even like my skate video Bipolar, that was shot mini DV, and every day I wish I would have just had like a GoPro, and like even just a GoPro would have been nice. But having like a GoPro and like, you know, A7 R2 or something like that to, you know, complement the fisheye footage, like, oh my god, it would have made everything, it would have made my life way easier then. But yeah, with Bipolar, that was my to tell you the truth, I was gonna say that was the first film I edited on a computer, but I made a skate video called Hope, which was sold at a skate shop called Speed Freaks. That was like my first kind of like film where it was like actually kind of like flowed somewhat together, because like the VHS videos were kind of just really random, and they were edited okay, but it was kind of, I knew nothing about editing. I knew nothing about anything. And that's kind of how I went through my creative life, is when I just, like, I didn't know anything about podcasts, and I kind of still don't. I just do it, and I like to do it, and I researched myself of how I can get on Apple Podcasts, and kind of just made it happen. And that's, to me, I'm just like someone who likes to do, like, when if I have an idea, I just do it. Like, I'm trying to work on this film for Rode microphones, and if like this idea is kind of like there, and I'm trying to get some people involved, but that falls apart, I have a backup plan to try to get something done. And that's just how I am. It's just, I like creating, I love the process. And, you know, when I'm not, I always try to think of these little projects on the side, because to me, in a strange way, like me doing this podcast is me still, you know, really working with my like photography lifestyle, and being in Ohio, and kind of how the weather is, and how, you know, adding life responsibilities and all that kind of stuff. Like, I can't photograph all the time. There's days where I can't photograph at all, but I might have some time to, you know, on a day to sit down and kind of, you know, talk about my thoughts on things and make some videos or do what I'm doing, and kind of keeps me in my own little world. And that's what I mean, I might as well end it at that, because my next podcast, I'm gonna be talking about websites, and that's really digs into like having your own world. And so I might as well end it there, because it's gonna be a nice little lead to that. So I want to thank you for listening, and I want to thank you for the people who've hit me up and just, you know, saying kind words about having the podcast back up. You know, I'm glad to be up there. I'm glad, you know, people are listening, and, you know, definitely appreciate it. And I'll for sure be doing a lot of these random things. And that's kind of the whole idea, is like, oh, I like the side-by-side documentary, so I'm going to post about it. And, you know, it's better doing something like that than like, I like it, but I'm not going to make like a video of me like doing like a, you know, like an interview type video of me just talking about it. So, you know, it makes more sense to make it a podcast, so I can just kind of ramble on. So, but yeah, again, mad respect. Everyone, you know, over the years in the film industry, you know, shooting film, you know, and the pioneers, you know, film, and then the pioneers of shooting digital. You know, I just love everyone in the creative process world. It's kind of like, it's great. You know, it gives you that creative, you know, energy that like, it's cool to think of like the filmmakers who are like, you know, screw it, I'm going to shoot with a mini DV camera and make a movie out of it. I don't care, I'm doing it. Like, that's the attitude that kind of got us, you know, further, because it was completely rejected. You know, Sony and them wouldn't have went completely digital because no one was doing it. No one liked it. Like, that would have, you know, wouldn't have been a thing. Like, but obviously, for sure, made sense to the world, makes sense to everyone. You know, having it in your pocket now, making a film with your phone or shooting photos with your phone, however you want to do it, it's a great thing. So, again, keep a lookout for the next podcast about websites, and just, you know, be creative. You know what I mean? You have so much available to you, even just on a phone. Even if you're just like, if you want to be a writer, you want to do anything, like, there's just so much you can do by like research just from your phone. You can just use apps to like write. It's all there. It's just, you know, getting into your own little world and kind of just acting on it. And I think that's what's important, is just acting on it and not waiting around and not like worried about what other people think. Because that's 100% the worst thing to do, is to think, oh, I wonder what Sally is going to say, or I wonder what Billy is going to say, or whatever. Like, it's just worry about yourself, especially in the creative world. Just worry about yourself. Like, because that's not like being, to me, that's 100% not being selfish, because like to think that someone else is going to like say something bad about your artwork is worse. And I think it's completely different. That's why it's like, oh, I believe in myself. I believe I can, you know, make this thing and put it out in the world. And if Sally doesn't like it, maybe Billy will, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, to me, I try not to think of it either way. I don't try to go like, oh, I think like, you know, these people are going to like it. Or, oh, it's going to suck if, you know, these people hate it. Like, I don't even think of either one of those things. And that's why, like, my style is so just like a raw style. Like, my video edits are rough cuts and rough, like, there's no like fancy transitions. And that's just kind of how I used to edit skate videos. And that's kind of rolled over into how I do videos now. And like, my photography is a certain way. And there's probably people who like it, and there's probably people who hate it. And that's just the name of the game. That's why and the best way to think of it is like, even just think of something that's like, because I know a lot of people will think of like a blockbuster movie being like more important than like something they carry on their own. So like, just think of a movie, and then just think of like, oh yeah, if I asked, you know, some of my friends what they thought, some of them are going to say, oh, I don't really like that movie, but you love it. Like, I love Interstellar, but there's people that don't like it. So it's kind of like, in every level of creativity, there's that problem. So it's the best not to think about that, because it doesn't matter. It just matters what you feel and what you want to do. And thanks again for listening. Hit that subscribe button. This will also be up on YouTube in a day or so. Subscribe at youtube.com/bsmitty. And of course, all things are at bsmitty.com. Thanks for listening.